God has an encouraging word for you and me today through the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton and a message on the second coming. The encouraging So just what does he mean? Well, the second coming of Jesus Christ is an exciting thing we as believers look forward to. Today's message, Jesus Coming in the Clouds, Part 2, is Dr. Wilton helping us not only understand that reality, but how it affects us today and how we live our lives with a wonderful expectancy, not a fear or a dread, but knowing that there will come an end at some point in time to the world as we know it. And are we ready? Well, we'd love to talk with you about it. You can connect with us right now online at theencouragingword.org or 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. We'd love to speak with you, pray with you, maybe connect with some free resources. We'd love to hear from you. Now, Dr. Don Wilton.
Hello, my friends. This is such an incredible subject. The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in the clouds. It's an amazing subject, and it's amazing to think that Jesus is coming in the clouds. We're going to be caught up to meet him in the air, and we're going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ forever and forever and forever. And it's an amazing thing to think that all believers are going to be with him forever. I mean, that's is a precious, precious subject. It's an amazing subject, and one that I'm so grateful that you and I can be a part of for all time and for all eternity. But here it is. When Jesus comes in the clouds and we are caught up in the air to be with him, all unbelievers are going to be subject to the unholy Trinity. Now, friends, this is going to be quite a humdinger, I'm just telling you. I think there are going to be some of you that have never really heard this or thought about these things. So here's my first question. If I had to ask you, who is the Trinity, the Holy Trinity? I'm sure you'd have the right answer. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You got it. Triune God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. How precious is that? Three in one. What about the unholy Trinity? See, the Bible says that when the rapture of the church takes place, when Jesus comes in the clouds, the unholy Trinity are going to be released on this earth with all unbelievers and are going to be basically free to be able to conduct their dirty business on this earth until the end of the tribulation period. I'd like to read to you just a few verses here, and I'm going to be in 2 Thessalonians and chapter 2. Now, folks, this is going to be a deep passage, and I'm going to have to just stop every now and again and sort of go through things and explain a couple of things, because this is incredible to listen to what God has to say about these things. Here's what he says, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 1. Concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and being gathered to him, there's the same language referring to the coming of Jesus in the clouds. We ask you not to become alarmed or easily unset by some prophecy or report or some preacher or someone out there trying to stir up and make up or write a book or whatever it might be, saying that the day of the Lord has already come. Not so. It's not happened. Only God knows that. Watch this. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for the day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed. The phrase there, the man of lawlessness, the one who has no regard for the law of God. Let me run that by again. Who is the man of lawlessness? It's the man of God who has no regard for the law of God. The one who, according to the scriptures, will set himself up. And you know, you and I, even here in Jerusalem, We can hear all the sounds of different religions in the background. There are so many people claiming to be God. There are so many people trying to teach false doctrines about God. Nowhere better than here in Jerusalem. You can hear these sounds. You can hear the cries. You can hear the prayers. You can, all around the world, there are different religions vying for one another, vying against one another, trying so hard to gain the upper hand in the ascendancy, trying to convince us that their God is God. And what the Word of God tells us is that God has revealed to us exactly who He is. So I'm very grateful for all of these sounds that are around us at the moment, because they remind me exactly who He is, for He is none other than the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so Jesus Christ comes in the clouds, takes all believers out of this earth, takes them into heaven, and all unbelievers on this earth are now handed over to the man of lawlessness. Now watch this. I'm going to read this further for you. This is what the Bible says about Antichrist. Verse 4. He will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshipped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. What did I say about the man of lawlessness? He is the man who believes has set himself up. He has no regard for the law of God. He sets himself up as God. And when the rapture of the church takes place, the man of lawlessness is going to suddenly appear. And he's going to declare himself as God in the temple of God, and he's going to tell all those who have been left behind, don't you worry about a thing. I'm in charge. I'm God. You can trust me. You can believe me. You can follow me. And later on in the book of Revelation, Bible even says that those who follow him are going to receive the number 666 on their foreheads or on their hands, and they're going to follow him, and they're going to give allegiance to him. But there are some incredible things that are going to take place, because at the same time as Antichrist is revealed, the Bible is going to tell us that the Holy Spirit is going to be withdrawn from this world. Let me read it to you. Verse 5. Don't you remember that when I was with you, I used to tell you these things? And now you know what is holding him back, so that he may be revealed at the proper time. That's Antichrist. For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work, but the one who now holds it back will continue to do so until he is taken out of the way. The Spirit of God, who is holding back the spirit of Antichrist, who is already at work. In other words, the convicting power of the Spirit is too powerful in that God himself is able to overcome the spirit of evil, because he's the conqueror. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. But the Bible says when all believers are taken out, unbelievers are left behind, the Spirit of God is going to be withdrawn from the world. Verse 8, and then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming. By the way, I believe that that is a direct reference to Revelation chapter 20 and to the battle of Armageddon. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 11 following, that after Jesus lands on the Mount of Olives, bringing with him the armies of heaven, as he goes across to the battlefields of Armageddon, as that epic battle takes place, the Bible says that the man of lawlessness, Antichrist and the false prophet are going to be taken into captivity and they are going to be put in eternal hell. Not the devil, not the third person. I'm going to get to that in just a moment. And the Bible says that the coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with the work of Satan, displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders, and in every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing. They perish because they refused to love the truth and so be saved. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so they will believe the lie, and so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth but have delighted in wickedness. All right, let me put this all together. You ready? Here we go. Jesus comes in the clouds at a time that only God knows. All believers are taken up into the air to join with all believers who are already with him. All unbelievers now have to be subject to the unholy Trinity. So who is the unholy Trinity?
Forgive the interruption. We'll be back in just a moment to discover that answer of who is the unholy Trinity, but more important, to understand the answer that no matter what unholiness comes against us, you have victory in Jesus Christ. We've looked ahead and read the end of the story. God wins. Boy, we'd love to talk with you, pray with you. We're available both online at theencouragingword.org and this phone number, 866-899-WORD. 24 hours a day, we love to talk, to pray. You can connect right now at 866-899-9673. And so many are saying, yes, let us not only pray for the ministry, but give. We are very grateful for the opportunity to receive your gifts and to use it to lift up the name of Jesus. If you'd like, consider becoming an encourager.
Thank you for being an encourager with me through the Encouraging Word Broadcast Ministry. You are making a difference in people's lives. Why don't you become an encourager? Partner with us. Partner with me. Become an encourager today. And be part of something far bigger than any of us.
To learn how you can become an encourager, send your request to Post Office Box 2110, Spartanburg, South Carolina, 29304, or call us at 866-899-WORD, or visit us on the web at theencouragingword.org. We hope you will make your commitment to spread the precious gospel of Jesus Christ around the world with us today. Now back to today's message with Dr. Don Wilton.
All right, let me put this all together. You ready? Here we go. Jesus comes in the clouds at a time that only God knows. All believers are taken up into the air to join with all believers who are already with him. All unbelievers now have to be subject to the unholy Trinity. So who is the unholy Trinity? If the Holy Trinity is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the unholy Trinity is the devil, that old serpent, Satan himself. Number two, the man of lawlessness, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Revelation chapter 13, known as the beast, will be revealed. And number three, the false prophet, the other beast, Revelation chapter 13 and verse 11. The word there in the Greek text is alos, the other beast. Similar in many ways, but not the same. The false prophet. Why? What is this all about? What are they having to deal with? Well, here's Satan. We know all about Satan. It's a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Antichrist, the lawless one. Just think of that word. He's the great political leader. If I had time today, I'd tell you all about him. We can build an entire character of him. We can determine basically where he's going to come from, what he's going to look like. We can build his profile, so to speak. He's going to be powerful. People will recognize him. People will know who he is. He's going to be a national hero, and he's going to set himself up in the temple. He's going to declare himself as God. He's going to say, peace, peace, when there is no peace. He's going to strike a deal with the nation of Israel just for 3.5 years. It's going to be a false peace. And then there is the false prophet, the other beast. Why the false prophet? The false prophet is going to perform miracles. He's going to do the bidding of the lawless one, Antichrist, and of Satan. Here's the reason why the false prophet is very important, folks, and you need to listen to this really carefully when we talk about the coming of Jesus. It is one thing for you and for me to sin, but it's an entirely other matter for you and me to sin and then be blessed in our sin by a prophet, by a member of the clergy, by the church. People all around the world today are looking for a means whereby they can justify their sin. People are trying to create churches and flock to churches and hang around people and listen to people who become extremely popular when they water down sin. Someone said to me one time, a weak theology always leads to a weak lifestyle. A weak theology gives you permission to live any way you want to. And if you can get a preacher or a clergyman or a bishop or someone who's in the ranks of the religious elite to justify, to say to you that it's okay to do what you're doing and to set themselves up higher than the law of God, you've got it made. And most people today who sin that are able to say, my church says it's all right, are people who have found a means at least whereby they can be comfortable in their own sin. You know where I'm going, don't you? Only God makes the determination concerning sin and of unrighteousness. And only God has provided the means whereby you and I can ever be forgiven of our sin. So, when we talk about this, that's why I want you to give your life to Christ. That's why I invite you to trust Jesus as your Savior and Lord, because God is love. And God sent not His Son into this world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might believe and might be saved. So what does this all mean then, the coming of Jesus in the clouds? Well, let's just review it a little bit. It means that Jesus is coming in the clouds in the air. It means that all believers are going to be with Him. What believers? Those who are already with Him and those who are alive at the time of His coming that will go to join all those who are already with Him, with Jesus up in the air. But it means thirdly that all unbelievers who are left behind will be subject to the unholy Trinity. You ready for point number 4? It's a tough one. Starting in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 1, Bible tells us that judgment will be handed down from heaven. So watch my Bible here. If you can just imagine for just a minute that everything above here is heaven, everything below here is earth. At the time of the rapture, everything in heaven, which is God on His throne, the Lord Jesus Christ, and all believers, God will hand out judgment to be carried out on all those who are under the control of the unholy Trinity, who are still living on this earth. And starting in Revelation chapter 5 and all the way through Revelation chapter 19 and verse 1, we have three judgments. There are 7 seal judgments, 7 trumpet judgments, and 7 bowl judgments. Beginning right there in chapter 5 and verse 1, there's an incredible picture. Read it for yourself. And the picture is of God sitting on His throne in heaven. and he's holding in his right hand the title deed of the earth, where all these people have been left behind, because he's creator. He made the heavens and the earth. Without him was not anything made that was made. And he's holding the title deed. The angels get into a state of panic. I mean, they start running around, squawking, carrying on, because nobody is qualified to take that title deed and open the seals that close that title deed that contain the authority of God over the earth. And all of a sudden, there's this heavenly chorus. The announcement is made, "Behold the Lamb of God." Yes, he's the one that takes away the sin of the world. The one who is dragged up there to the house of Caiaphas and thrown into a pit. The one upon whom they placed a Roman robe, a crown of thorns on his head. The one that they placed on Calvary's tree at Golgotha. The one that they killed, the Son of Man, who took upon himself the sin of the world, but by the power of God was raised from the grave and now is seated at the right hand of the Father. Yes, this is the one. This is the one. He has paid the price. He has the authority of God. He's the sacrifice. He's the propitiation for our sin. He is the reason. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but by him. And so Jesus, the Christ, the Lamb of God, comes and takes the authority of God, by the authority of God, and begins to open those sealed judgments. And you can read about them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 sealed judgments. And they increase in intensity. When they are through, other events take place, and we get into the trumpet judgments. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 trumpet judgments, intermingled with all the catastrophes, intensifying in intensity, followed finally by the 7 bowl judgments. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 cataclysmic judgments meted out on the earth as the righteous indignation and anger and the wrath of God is poured out against the unrighteousness of mankind upon this earth. And then we get to chapter 19. You see, that's the fifth point about the coming of Jesus in the clouds. The angels will announce Jesus' second coming. Here it is, folks. I tell you, this is the best part, man. I can't stop smiling when I get you. I don't like talking about the judgments. I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. I mean, I teach it. We've got to go. I'm not going to avoid it. I don't have anything to say excepting God's word tells us you're either for God or you're against God. Nobody can serve two masters. That's why I'm inviting you to give your life to Christ right from here, right in Jerusalem, the headquarters of God's heaven forever. I'm inviting you to give your life to Christ. It's His invitation. And the Spirit of God will save you. He will do it. And the reason I do this with such joy is because the angels will announce the second coming of Jesus. Chapter 19 and verse 1, they break out in this cacophony of praise and glory. Oh yeah, remember what we said way back then when we first began to study this? There are 3 comings of Jesus. I wonder if you can remember what they are. Coming number 1, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea. Coming number 2, when Jesus comes in the clouds and all believers who are alive and remain will be caught up in the air. Coming number 3, announcement, Revelation 19, verse 1. And the actual coming of Jesus to land on the Mount of Olives in person, bodily, physically, personally, for you and me, fulfilling His plan for the ages, carrying out His promise that I will come back and receive you unto myself. That's right there in Revelation 19 and verse 11. Here's my closing word for you today. You know what Jesus said in John's Gospel? He said, "In my Father's house there are many mansions. That's why, please, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. That's why I can tell you about in my Father's house there are many mansions. And if it were not so, Jesus said, do you not suppose that I would have told you so? I told you, I am going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, ready? Are you ready? I will come again, and I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Isn't that amazing? Have you given your heart to Jesus? Have you trusted Him as your Savior and Lord? Right here, from God's capital city, from Jerusalem. 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 The city of God. I invite you to say yes to this Jesus. He loves you so much. Jesus died for you on a cross. You can trust Him as your Savior and Lord. Won't you join me in looking forward to being caught up or to be taken into heaven by the angels of God? Won't you join with me? Let's sit around the feast table of the King forever and forever. And so shall we forever be with the Lord. Yes, Jesus is coming. He's coming, folks. He's coming. Look for Him. And remember what Paul said. So let's encourage one another with these words.
What a powerful time of studying the Word of God with Dr. Don Wilton. I pray that we've heard not only the insight from Scripture, but also the voice of God calling us to Him because He loves you. Before we get away, closing thoughts from Dr. Don.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm so happy to hear that. Why don't you pray this prayer with me today? Dear God, I know that You love me very, very much. And I know that the Lord Jesus Christ came and died on a cross so that I might be forgiven of my sin. Today, I repent of my sin. I confess my sin to You. And I invite You to come into my heart and into my life by faith. In Jesus' name I pray. If you've prayed that prayer, let me be the first one to welcome you to the family of God. This is wonderful. I hope that you know how much I'm going to be praying for you and how very important this is for me. Call us so that we can talk to you and connect you in the right place so you can begin this wonderful journey.
Our time's gone for today, but oh, the message tomorrow. Our Friday edition is called The Beginning of Heaven. It's an exciting time of diving deeper into God's Word and understanding what we have to look forward to and how we can, in part, bring heaven on earth. That's all coming up tomorrow here on The Encouraging Word with Dr. Don Wilton. Don't forget, between now and then, let's stay connected online at tewonline.org. The Encouraging Word.